Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
To take your seat, last one seated is going to treat everybody to the 1995 buffet. Just thought, there it is. Look at that. There is no buffet. Just thought I'd throw that out there to try to get attention. Oh, thank you, everyone. Hey, we want to get into the Word and bring our New Year's Eve message. If by chance you did not bring your Bible. Hey, by the way, let's just take a look at Bible attendance. Can you put your Bible up? Let's see. We're looking for new Bibles. Oh, somebody's got a new iPhone. You show off, show off. Go ahead. All right. Yep, good. Hey, if you happen to need a Bible, our ushers will be happy to put one in your hand. Taking a look, we're going to Philippians. You'll find Philippians, New Testament, right after 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Find those big books. Then you'll go Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So thank you. Hey, we are, this is our New Year's Eve message. We're thrilled to bring our theme next Sunday. So we welcome you all back to see what God's going to be doing through all of us here at Hope Chapel with our theme for 2018, which is God's love seen in 2018. But with that in mind, let's pray and we'll begin today's message. Father, thank you for the joy with which, Lord, your presence fills our heart and it is expressed into the lives of others. And Lord, you are life. You are the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus. So thank you for bringing life through this message, bringing direction and hope. That is a signature mark of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today's message is entitled not only for a new year, when we come to that point of 2018, but we're looking at today's message entitled, Where Are You Going From Here? Good question. What about here as we launch just within a few short hours into 2018? Now, I don't know, and the question is to you, if you've ever tried walking a straight line, just looking at your feet. Matter of fact, try that on the sand sometime, just looking at your feet, walking a straight line so you can see how jagged and out of sorts that straight line really is. It's very difficult. Matter of fact, it works much better when you set your gaze on a distance object and you aim for something. You can walk much straighter in that regard. And that's the same with life. Life really needs a focus, needs to have an aim, a destination, a goal. It's important for any life that really would have some form of health. It's a point where people would end up having just a progress and a purpose through aims, ambitions, goals. If there is none, we would ask that question, why would somebody maybe not have a goal or have an aim in their life? Well, there's a few reasons maybe for that to happen. One is a person really doesn't understand the importance of having a goal set or an agenda of an aim. The other might be the person's just lazy. They just don't want to be bothered. They like life the way it is, and they're not going to add anything further to their life. Another thing is that they just don't have the faith to believe that God would bring them to that desired destination. There's just no confidence that God's going to come through. But we're taking a look here because when we look at the scripture and we understand even Jesus, who had an aim, he had a goal in mind when he came. Not only, just to mention a few, he had that desire to just serve people, or he taught people who hungered for righteousness and wanted to know the truth. And his ultimate goal was he was going to give his life on the cross for the payment of the sins of the world and to glorify the Father. When we take a look at today's passage in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16, the Apostle Paul, we could talk about this being his autobiography, really. But we could ask our question even before we even read that. How about us individually? Because we can make plans, but we know that God might have something of a surprise for our lives. Isn't it true? You and I as a faith family and those who are part of our community here and part of Hope Chapel, we might have those prayers and plans for things moving forward into the next year, but we're ready. God might have some surprises for us. I'm just so thrilled that in the 16 years that Ainsley and I have been here at Hope Chapel, February the 10th will mark 16 years. Man, has it been great. Just love you. Thank you, all two of you. I'm grateful for that. But we love you. We do. We love this city. We love what God is doing. It's been a tremendous journey in our life. When we take a look at things that God has been doing, just seeing wonderful people and those people turning their lives over to the Lord and being discipled and then developing and growing excellent leadership and just great pastoral teams that have come, and many of those have launched into their own ministries, and the excitement of what our connection has been internationally. And then when we look at even our influence in the community, how that God has allowed us to have those times where we're dealing with in ministries like Nails in His Hands or Radius 3 or Brown Bags of Hope, or we can keep going on with Little Ones, where we have things that are like the National Day of Prayer, where God's opened up areas right there at the City Hall steps, where we continue to have our annual sunrise service at the Pierside Plaza. The city's already invited me back to say, hey, let's do it again. There's significant events that take place in the city, and that is one now that they deem as vital and important. We're so excited, too. We're launching into what's called Restore HB, the joy of having things happen among the churches and the pastors. The influence that are happening in our community is amazing. The development of our remodels, that we've had numerous remodels with our facility, our limited square footage, but we keep things relevant to our culture, to the needs. It's been exciting to see what's going on. The life within our small collective groups of ministry, we call them life groups. There's also age-appropriate groups. There are things that have just been so transforming. We could literally say, man, that's enough. Why don't we just kind of sit back and veg out? But you and I know we want to continue to reach out. You could veg out or you can reach out. And this message, where are we going from here? And taking a look at the Apostle Paul in his wording, because he's talking now, as we're about to read, about who he is, who he has been involved with, what he's been up to, and where he's going. So let's take a look here, because he starts talking. The Apostle Paul must have been a sports fan or an athlete, because he would often talk about pressing on or fight the good fight. You've seen those things, or kind of like one that just kind of like shadow boxing in one term. But let's look at verse 12, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Well, I want to take a look, as you look in the back of your bulletin and also on our notes, a couple of things worth the principles for navigating the new year. I've got four of them taken from Paul's directions. Number one, don't settle down, buckle up. Don't settle down, buckle up. And think this way, phrase you might want to write down, progress, not perfection. Think this way, progress, not perfection. And looking at verse 10 through verse 12, we'll move a little further on Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Let me just pause there for a moment. This is worth noting because, man, Paul, the apostle, is a high achiever. He's a brilliant thinker. Man, he's a spiritual giant. This dude has not only been described in Scripture being caught up into the third heavens, he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. God spoke to him. He wrote over half of the New Testament. And here he comes along, and I get so encouraged when I see him say something like this, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. He says, I'm not there yet. I am not perfect. Now, he's been walking with the Lord about 30 years, accomplished a lot. If anybody could sit back and say, man, I've arrived, but not mature Christians. Mature Christians come along and say, man, there's still things I want to know and grow in. They're never satisfied. Someone once said that a perfectionist is someone who takes great pains but gives them to everyone else. How's that, huh? You need to be there. You need to do that. Now, you might know a few of those people. I don't know. But we're taking a look at progress, not perfection. And we don't want to compare ourselves with each other either. If you're ever in a race and you start looking at the opposition or your partner too much, you can lose stride, get out of sorts. How many are just feeling an anticipation of great things next year, like the Apostle Paul? How many just feel like, man, great things are going to come? That's important. The Apostle Paul says, man, I'm not settling in. I'm pressing on. There's great things. You've got to have, the Holy Spirit's got stuff for you. That's important. So we take a look at number two. Don't do everything, do one thing. And think this way, participant, not spectator. Be a participant, not a spectator. Now, there's plenty of people that just kind of watch and see. I'm just saying, don't do everything. Do one thing. Look at verse 13, Philippians 3, 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 13, one thing I do. Take a look at that wording, one thing I do. Now, that's important when we look here because in dealing with this, God's not wanting you and me just to set our eyes on 2018. He really wants our hand to the plow. Just be a part of. That's the miracles we've heard about this morning. Is because somebody got up and did something about it. And the rest of us enjoy that, but God wants us to participate. But one thing is the word I just want to draw from the Apostle Paul's text. We don't want to be a GP. That's the word for a general practitioner. They just know everything about everything. Be a specialist about something. Don't go for perfection. Go for progress. And when we look here at this one thing, and it's been mentioned about people that just get involved with a lot of things, they seem to exceed in a bunch of stuff, but they're not really have success in any one thing. They just extend all their energies and all their resources, but they never really excel in one. Paul the Apostle says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Now, I've used that phrase and found in a couple places it's come up as well. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 17, remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, well, he cited a few of the Old Testament commandments. And he said, man, I've done all this since I was a youth. And then Jesus said this, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. One thing you lack. I mean, Jesus zeroed in on his idol. One thing. You've done all this. It's an amazing thing. We also have in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, says that Jesus entered a certain village, came into the home of Mary and Martha, and then Martha gets really bent out of shape because, like so many of you, hosting and hostessing people in your home, And they don't even help you with the dishes. Can you imagine that? Martha gets upset. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. And Mary was at the feet of Jesus just listening to him talk. Wouldn't you love that? Just, man, Jesus probably looked like a person just like you until he opened his mouth and he said, man, nobody speaks like this guy. That'd have been a great setting, sitting there listening to Jesus. We have Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 27:4. One thing. Could have a lot of things, but man, this is it. Just my desire, just to be there where the Lord is. So when we look here, living with priorities is important. Whittling them down to one thing, not perfection, but progress. It was said of Billy Graham in his life, he had declared that I had 22 times, he said, people giving me large amounts of money or acreage to build a university. I refused everything 22 times. As I prayed and realized that to build a university would take away my calling as an evangelist. One thing. That's important for us to recognize that. So how do you establish aims in your life? How do you go for those things? Just two ways. Just want to just maybe jot them down first. Just get with God. Quiet yourself and first just repent. Lord, is there anything in my life as I sit before you, Almighty God? I have a repentant heart. I have gratitude in my heart, but Lord, remove those things that would separate me from hearing you and walking with you. Second, ask him for direction for areas in your life involving your future, involving study, work, your relationship, your marriage. Ask him. He will answer you. He will answer you. He will. He will answer you. And make sure that you have something to write with, because it often comes with people that have not spent time hearing and exercising, hearing from God. It will be in two ways, promptings in your heart, promptings and convictions. When they come, that's God. Write them down. Got to write them down so you can spend time as the seasons unfold and just check, calibrate. Hey, how are you progressing on that? Prompting in the heart. Hey, well, that's just my intuition. Maybe my, no, that is the Lord. So again, stop, ask, listen. You might want to just write that out. Three words, stop, stop. No, I'm going to ask God when I'm driving to school. No, don't do that. We all have a quiet place. Stop, ask, and listen. So when we deal with that, the beauty of it, just the joy, don't do everything, do one thing. When we work in the areas of what God has for us, another thing would be number three, the importance of that is in the area of don't look back, move forward. Let's look at that. Think future, not past. Number three, don't look back, but move forward. And looking at verse 13 again, and 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Check that out with me, because remember, think future, not past, because there are... You want to lead a miserable life? Then you go ahead and just keep looking at the past. Just deal with the past, how people have not come through for you. They don't call for you. Just be a miserable person. Man, but go for a goal. Think future, not past. People become spiritually crippled when they focus on past hurts and bitterness, past regrets, grudges. I mean, you could just find it when you just name that situation or you name that person. Man, just they flare up. They just, So be careful. Don't look backward. The Apostle Paul said that. He said, brethren, verse 30, I do not count myself to be have apprehended, but one thing I do. Paul, what is that? What is that one thing you do? Here it is, forgetting those things which are behind. And if anybody had a reason to forget the past, it's the Apostle Paul. He cites it in the same chapter. Remember, it's a biography talking about how he would persecute the church. It's in verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, man, I am blameless. Can you see the pride in him? He was there at the first Christian martyr, Stephen. It's in the book of Acts. He's holding the coat saying, hey, one more stone on that dude. Let's get him. So if anybody had a dark, shaded past, it would be the Apostle Paul. Please don't bring it up. I'm sure he would not want to go back and deal with that. One thing I do. What is that? I don't dwell on the past. What do? Man, I am pressing toward the goal. Verse 14. Now that's important. That's important. Think future, not past. Don't be a miserable person. Take the appointment of the Apostle Paul. If there is ever an example, it's Joseph in the Old Testament, Genesis 50, verse 20. Remember how he talked to his brothers? Man, his brothers who sold him into slavery. For years he's in a dungeon, making the best he can, and now he comes out, man, he is stellar, second in command to Pharaoh himself. But he says this to his brothers. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. What a great example that is. And how does the Apostle Paul, he's just kind of like, hey, I'm just not going to think about the past. That's just going to kind of wash it under the sheets here a little bit and just kind of see what the future might hold. You look at the words in verse 13, he uses the word reaching. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That Greek word literally means muscles being strained to go for it. I mean, he is engaged in that. He is not just saying, I'm moving forward. Ha ha, I like it. It's a good thought. We just wrote it down on a sheet of paper. Man, he is involved. He's doing something to say, I'm moving and progressing. Wow, like that. He used another word, the word press. Twice he uses that, but verse 14, I press toward the goal. And in the Greek, that literally means put everything you have into it, every ounce of energy. So when you say one thing, what is that one thing? Because today is the tomorrow you'll be thinking about. It's like so many of you think about the yesteryears. Man, put energy into it. Get going. Get involved and dial up those members of your family or friends that you just know God put on your heart to reach out and help them. Just an example. So when we take a look here, Paul had a past. And then he says something, verse 17. He says, you need to do it too. Look at verse 17. Brethren, talking to Christians, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So it's not like a gimme. Oh, I'm just glad Paul's doing that, man. He was a bad dude. Now he's like transformed. But he's saying, use me and use the others that have some dark past. Don't just kind of keep talking about how bad I was a dude as a Christian. Man, I took every drug, shooting peanut butter up in the veins. You know those bad stories, right? And just go with it and see what God is doing. Note those who are among you. Follow their pattern and go with it. Number four, don't travel alone. Walk together. Walk together. Let's look at verse 15 and think this way, together and not alone. Think this way, write that down, together and not alone. Verse 15 says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. It's interesting because up to this point, Paul's been talking about himself, his autobiography. I am Paul. I used to be this way. I made these choices. I've kind of hung out. It's me, I. And then all of a sudden, he changes from I to us. Have you noticed that? That's why our fourth point, don't travel alone, walk together. He says so clearly, therefore, let us. Now, let's turn this. This is the way I am, but now all of us, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind, brethren, join and follow in our example. That's going to be important for some of you this coming year. The importance for survival is making sure you don't isolate yourself. Runners do better in packs. If you're in that running of a race, you keep pace by staying in the pack till you're ready to get that last 60-meter kick going. It's those that wander away that lose that momentum going on. Proverbs 18:1 says that he who isolates himself is not wise. Man, I get the worst shape and trouble when I'm just too idle. Man, my mind is just too creative. Too many rogue thoughts come in. To be by myself is not wise. To tell somebody you shouldn't be so long by yourself. Proverbs 18:1 literally says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. So when we take a look, man, it's a great, great day to consider these principles once again, what God is doing in our lives. I want to just welcome you just for a moment as we prepare just to sing this song. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Close our eyes for a moment. Just think about that one thing. Let's see what the Holy Spirit just kind of brings in your direction. It's that one area. One thing. Destination for us. You love us so much. Just speak that, the love of God that has overcome so many obstacles in our own lives, and even when we were just distant from you, not thinking of you, unwilling to even acknowledge you, you still loved us. Now, Lord, we're more engaged than ever before. Let the love of God start to reveal things that you have for us this coming. Maybe a few things, but Lord, definitely that one thing. Lord, we thank you for that. And that, Lord, even now, if we just take a moment just to make that commitment, say, Lord, that one thing really is you. I have you, I have everything. I have everything, but I do not have you. I really have nothing. And I end up in the same dead end, lonely, isolated, in despair, upset, nobody's helping me. Lord, you're our help this morning. Our help comes from the Lord who's made heaven and earth. Now lead us, O Lord. Lead us with your love. We trust somebody that loves us as much as you have, Almighty God, by coming and giving your life on the cross for us. You back that up by just displaying us the best route. The right life. the great associations, all life-giving. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Would you stand to your feet? Let's sing this song. I'll be back.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
He's over there, he's asking the Lord, Lord, you gave the first service a tremendous prophetic word. So I'm going to attempt in faith to give that same word. If you've never been in a spirit-filled environment like Hope Chapel, welcome you. We just embrace the gifts of the Spirit, and what you're about to hear is called a gift of prophecy. That doesn't necessarily make me a prophet. I'm a pastor. But that gift of prophecy, according to 1 Corinthians 14:2, you can tell it's a gift when it's delivered because it brings edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So I want to be a good messenger person and by faith step out once again. It's probably for maybe a few of us, but I'll let the Holy Spirit bring that to you. My dear child, this very day I want to instill within you a courage to trust me, a courage to wait for me. Timing is so important. You have made right choices, but the timing has been detrimental. Timing is so important, as you know, not just to moments in science or even in athletics, but my timing, as I invite you, be courageous. Wait for my answer. I will reveal these things to you. As you know, in times past, you've launched ahead of me or lagged behind. Both have been costly. It opens you up those areas where you, in your self-sufficiency, have moved beyond my will. I'm desirous of you to wait for me. Have courage to trust me. As you have stepped out into your own plans and approaches, you frustrated others. But as you start to become that person, that child of mine, where you and I once again talk clearly, I will talk to you. I will display my direction and my will. Therefore, as I invite you, I'm looking for you now. I'm waiting for you now to ask me two questions. First would be, Father, what do you want me to do with this? Be it that area in your future or your family or in relationship, ask me. I'm waiting for you to ask me. Second would be, Father, I'm now ready to do whatever your will or direction would have for me, be it big or small. I'm now ready. As you are now being encouraged to take courage, to trust me, to wait on me, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to come and ask me those questions. I will direct your steps. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I long to be invited, to be a part of the process that you only thought was something that was yours and yours alone to do and to manage. I, your loving Father, will carry you to its completion. If you felt that those words were for you, there's two verses I want to apply, and that's Psalm 27, verse 14. It says this, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. The other, Psalm 32, verse 8. 32:8 of Psalm says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Praise the Lord. Well, Lord, we want to just thank you for a beautiful way not only to grace us with your presence. We almost feel like we want to take our shoes off. Because of your presence, it's holy ground. And because we have welcomed you into our life and into ourselves, your word calls us temples of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you. And may you, once again, do what you do so well. Help us. Speak and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to invite you, if you don't mind, to be seated. Pastor Noelani is going to come at this time. She's going to just encourage us with some up-to-date items in preparation for even...
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.